find an authorized version of the Word of God before you in the pew, if you pick out that Bible and turn with me to the 10th chapter of the first book of Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 10, and we're going to read together from verse 1 to verse 8 of this portion of Scripture. The Lord's Day morning, we read it together, taking your time from me. 1 Samuel chapter 10 and verse 1. Then Samuel took a vial of oil and poured it upon his head and kissed him and said, "Is not because the Lord hath anointed thee to be captain over his heritage. When thou art departed from me today, then thou shalt find two men by Rachel's sepulchre in the border of Benjamin at Zelah, and they will say unto thee, the asses which thou wentest to seek are found, and lo, thy father hath left the care of the asses and sorroweth for you, saying, what shall I do for my son? Then shalt thou go on forward from thence, and thou shalt come to the plain of Tabor, and there shall meet thee three men going up to God to Bethel, one carrying three kids, and another carrying three loaves of bread, and another carrying a bottle of wine. And they will salute thee and give thee two loaves of bread, which thou shalt receive of their hands. After that thou shalt come to the hill of God, where is the garrison of the Philistines. And it shall come to pass, when thou art come thither to the city, that thou shalt meet a company of prophets coming down from the high place with a psaltery and a tabret and a pipe and an harp before them. And they shall prophesy, and the Spirit of the Lord shall come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them, and shall be turned into another man. And let it be, when these things are come unto thee, then thou do as occasion serve thee, for God is with thee. And thou shalt go down before me to Gilgal, and behold, I will come down with thee to offer burnt offerings and to sacrifice sacrifices of peace offerings. 7 days shalt thou tarry till I come to thee and show thee what thou shalt do." And God will stamp with his own divine approval this reading from his own infallible book. Open your Bible at this 10th chapter of 1 Samuel. The Bible is a most intriguing book. And the most intriguing part of this intriguing book is the types and shadows, sometimes in Proverbs and sometimes in narratives, that are found in the Bible. In this 10th chapter of Samuel, we have the whole story of the journey of the Christian life. The journey of life. It's in three sections. We have the mystery of life. We have the history of life, and we have the destiny of life. The story is well known to us of Saul and the missing asses of his father, and how he went to seek them. And out of that small happening, it led him to be the king, the first king of Israel. For God moves in a mysterious way his wonders to perform. And if you look with me at the first part of this narrative, you will find first of all that when he came to Samuel's home, he had been included among those invited, although he didn't know that at the time. That God had spoken to Samuel and told him he was going to have a visitor. And secretly, Samuel prepared for the visitor. You'll notice that the special place where the secret was revealed to Saul was in Samuel's parlor, in the sanctuary of his heart, in the sanctuary of his house. There he met with God's prophet, and all was revealed. You know, in the journey of life, we have to go beyond life to eternity. For in eternity, all our life was planned. We do not believe in fate. We believe in a loving Heavenly Father who designs our life. Long before time began, I was part of God's plan. Before the hills in order stood, or earth received its frame, God handed over to his Son a people, a great people, an innumerable people. Their numbers cannot be counted by man, and God gave them to his Son in the act of election in eternity. All that the Father giveth me, Christ said, shall come to me. And they were given. And in the parlor, in the secret place, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost had a special meeting when the entire people of God were handed by divine decree into the hands of Christ. And if you go down this chapter, you'll find an interesting description that is given of this special happening, because you will find in chapter 9 this story of the place where Saul met up with Samuel. And you will find that it was verse 22 of chapter 9. It was the parlor. It was to give him a seat in the chiefest place among them, and it was the bidden people, 30 persons. 30 is a very interesting number in the scripture. I will not explain to you now why it is an interesting number. Read the Bible. Mark every 30 in the Bible, and you'll soon find out. But here we have a special number that were named. And as a man from the outside was brought in, Saul, and he was made to be one of the number. I'm glad that I was made one of the number in the eternity that is past. You say, how are you so cocksure, preacher? You're part of that number. Because God not only said, Christ not only said, when he spoke, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. I could have nothing to do with that. But I could have something to do with the second part of it. Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. How do I know I'm one of the number? Because I have come to Christ. And he says, I'll not be cast out. Cast out of what? From the great decree of election. Oh, the sovereignty of God. And God said, I'm going to pick Saul and add it to the number of the 30 person. It was number 31. 31 is also a very interesting number in the Bible. You should try looking for 31s in the Bible and say, what do they really mean? And then you will notice he was bidden. These people were bidden. And they were given the chiefest place to sit in the chiefest place among them. And that's what God did for his people. He said, I'm going to set them in the highest place in heaven. The saints of God, when they get to heaven, are not placed in the outside of the crowd. A man said to me one day, he said, well, there'll be so many people in heaven that will probably only see the Lord Jesus very little in heaven. There's so many. I said, you don't know what you're talking about. But I'm going to sit with him in his throne. That's the chief place. What does it say there? It says to sit in the chiefest place among them. A perfect picture of the wonderful mystery of life. I notice it culminated with what? It culminated with the anointing and the kiss. And God planned to anoint me with the oil of the Spirit and to give me the kiss of reconciliation. So we have the whole mystery of election here in the mystery of life. But let's turn to the history of life. And this man takes his journey, and the first thing you see, the hand of God is upon him. And he is told to go. And when he got down the road, he would meet two men. And where would he meet them? He would meet them at the sepulchre of Rachel. This is a most interesting thing. He's going to meet two men. Why two? Two in Scripture is the number of witness. Mark all the twos that are in this chapter. And you'll find that always speaks of witness. What is the great witness? The great witness is, of course, is the Word of God. There's two parts to the Word of God. There's the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. The Old Testament and the New Testament. And we find here that he is going to meet two men. And these two men are going to tell him about the sorrow of the Father. The wonderful thing, the first subject that Saul learned on the journey of life and the history of life was the subject of the Father's sorrow. We're brought immediately to the cross, and the first experience we have is to stand on resurrection ground and an open sepulchre. But that resurrection ground was possible because the Father answered the question, "What shall I do for my son?" He must not spare his son. God, who spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? The hand of God. Who was Rachel? Rachel is put beside Mary's name in Matthew's Gospel. You remember she had great weeping, and she was weeping for her children and would not be comforted because they are not. But the sorrows are gone, and the sepulchre of weeping has become the sepulchre of praising. Jesus arose from the dead. And that's where we start. We start on resurrection ground. And the first thing are two men, two witnesses. And we all, when we're saved, receive two witnesses. The witness of the Word and the witness of the Spirit. When I was saved, I got God's Word, but I got God's Spirit. That's where we start. In time, I remember the day well in my own experience. As a little boy, 29th day of May, 1932, when I came, put my trust in Christ, and he received me, and he gave me the witness of the blood and the witness of the Spirit of God in my heart. Now we move on, and when we move on, we find that he came to the plain of Tabor, and there he met three men. Most interesting, this chapter, isn't it? It's the picture of life. That after the two men, he meets three men, and when I went to school, three and two made five. And five in the Bible is the number of grace. Every time it is mentioned in the Bible, it refers to the grace of God. And you know, we are saved by grace. And here we have Saul transformed, and then by meeting two men, he meets three men. But there's something very strange about these men. One of them is carrying three kids. How that man carried three kids, I do not know. Did you ever try to carry one kid? Well, I have, and I'm not referring to two-legged ones. I'm referring to four-legged ones. You try to carry a kid. Three kids. Who was it that brought his son to the cross? It was the Father that brought a son to the cross. This first person reminds me that the first person of the Trinity brought his son to Calvary. Three in the Bible is the number of completion. So it was a complete sacrifice to the mount, to the house of God. But the second man, he had something else. He had three loaves of bread. But he only gave two of them to Saul. Why was that? Because Christ is the bread of life. And there we have the picture of the Bible with its two loaves for me. But one loaf was left because the bread of life today is in heaven among the exalted of God. And then we have the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is spoken of as the Why. And we have your Spirit of God, you're filled with the Spirit. It's the new wine of heaven. So we have the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit in wonderful picture here when he meets them. And where does he meet them? He meets them in a plain, not in a mountain. Because he that leads God's people lifts up the valley, lowers the mountain, and he makes the path level. I couldn't walk this way of life if God wasn't with me. He does the leavening. I don't have to worry about the mountains. He'll remove them. I don't worry about the depths of the valleys, for he exalts them. And his messenger, John the Baptist, said in his first message as he preached, he said, he exalteth the valleys and he lowers the mountains. Make the way straight for the Lord. And so we look again and we find something else, that he comes then to the hill of God. This, of course, was where Saul had his own home. And if you read through Samuel carefully, you'll discover that on that hill, that was where Saul and his family lived. So Saul was coming home, was making his way homeward. But something happened there at the hill. There was a garrison of the Philistines. The enemy was there. And all of us have to fight the enemy and meet the enemy. Enemies in our heart, enemies in our mind, enemies in our homes, enemies in the society in which we live, enemies of God in the church and in the community and in the land. We're never free in this life from the enemy. But there was something strange here that happened. Notice that when the garrison of the Philistines are mentioned, there is then a company of the prophets. And the company of the prophets were coming with music. Oh, I want to tell you, there is always music in the journey of life for the people of God. I was reading the life of one of the lives of Luther, and Luther said this, he said, never argue with the devil, just sing to him. And I said to myself, that's a good thought. He says, when the devil comes to me, I don't argue with him. He said, I used to, and now I sing. And he said, it's not because of my bad singing that the devil goes away. It's because of what I sing. So the next time the devil attacks you, sing the praises of God. It'll put his machinery into reverse gear. It'll put the boot to the board and away he'll go. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Sing to the devil and you'll get rid of him. He can't stand the blood-washed soul singing the praises of him who has called him out of darkness into his most marvelous light. I'd like to talk to you about the psaltery and the tabret and the pipe. And that wasn't a pipe that you smoke, by the way. All smokers take note. And a harp before them. Let me say this to you today. Those musical items are very important. You should study them. Because God has given to all his children all of them. But something better than the musical instrument. The Holy Spirit came upon them. And for the wonderful history of our lives, we can have the outpouring of the Spirit of God. These are the signs of the journey of life. But if you come down to the end of the chapter, you'll find all this was written in a book. You'll find that about what is said concerning Samuel. He wrote it all in a book, and that book was laid up before the Lord. Verse 25, then Samuel told the people the manner of the kingdom and wrote it in a book and laid it up before the Lord. And everything that God has done for us is written in a book. And one day I'm going to stand and the books will be opened. And it'll be written in the book that I came to Jesus on a certain date. It'll be written in a book that I stood upon redemption ground. It'll be written in the book that I received the two loaves of bread, the blessed word of God. It'll be written in a book that I was given to be a songster and I praised the Lord in life. And it'll be written in the book that I'm one of God's elect people. I have been in the parlor in the mind of God and I have been given the chiefest seat. Oh, what a day when the books are open. Is my name written there in the page, white and fair? Tell me, Jesus, my Savior, is my name written there? I would ask you a personal question, my dear hearer today. Is your name in the book? The books will be opened. And another book was opened, which was called the Book of Life. And the dead were judged out of those things that were written in the book. And whosoever was not written in the book was cast into the lake of fire that burneth forever. When the books are open, will your name be in God's book? You can be assured today by taking Christ as your Savior that your name will be in the book. So we have the journey of life. We have life in its mystery, life in its history, and life in its destiny. I pray, God, that your destiny will be recorded in the book of God forevermore.